In your face. Well, Misfit Toys Productions is putting on a wonderful version of Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. In the studio, I have Sonia Marcod, who plays Jack in the production. Welcome to 3CR.
How are you going?
It is so great to see you. Tell us about Jack.
Tell you about Jack. Well, Jack is obviously the main, well, it's hard to say whether he's the main character or not, because it is very much an ensemble piece. You know, you can't have the play omitting any of the characters at all. But Jack is interesting because all he does is fake his way through life, pretty much from birth. He has just been pretending the whole time. He knows it, and he's trying to convince everyone that he's something that he's not.
Wow. Okay. That's a really, really interesting role to play. You must have so much fun with it.
I'm having a lot of fun with it, and especially playing it, you know, being a female actor playing Jack, because he just pretends his whole life. It's very interesting pretending to be someone who's pretending.
Yeah. How do you manage that?
Well, in a lot of ways, you know, because all acting is pretending, you know. I mean, you do a lot to try and, you know, assume characters and get into characters and bring the character upon yourself. But all it is a game of let's pretend. So playing a character where they're just pretending their whole life actually makes the character... You can kind of do whatever you want with him, you know?
It sounds like a really fun interpretation of Oscar Wilde's classic play, which was written when? Like 1890s or something like that?
Yes.
You know, long, long time ago. And of course you've got the fabulous D.L. Turnbull involved in this production as well, who's directing, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about D.L.
Well, I've never actually worked with DL as an actor-director relationship. The last time I worked with him, he produced a play that I was doing, and I was really, really excited to actually work with him, you know, as a director. And because he's got so many amazing ideas, you know, just this idea to have an all-female Importance of Being Earnest, the idea of having women assume the male characters and show a different way of play, because you know you get a male actor and they'll play the male character, but they already know how to be a man. You get some women playing a male character, you know, you'll get a different interpretation on what it looks like to be male. And that idea that DL has had to put this play on, that's just astounding.
I wonder what Oscar Wilde would think of it.
I think he'd be really excited, because Wilde was always trying to push back against everything in society, you know, trying to kind of assert himself between societal norms. And I think if he found out that we were doing this, I think that he would absolutely let us take ownership of it.
It sounds like a wonderfully queer interpretation of a queer writer's work.
Yes.
It's just beautiful. Tell us about the cast. Who else is in it?
M is playing Algernon. I have suddenly just gone blank on all the cast members' names because I've got so many lines going through my head. I can't remember their name. That's really embarrassing.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, what is it like having all those lines going through your head?
Well, the thing is about Wilde is that he's got very, very specific language to learn. His phrasing and his use of just his use of words and his use of the English language, it seems very, very alien to learn. You know, because when you're doing other plays, if it's a play that's set now, it doesn't really, well, it does matter if, you know, you switch a few lines around, but it doesn't matter. With Wilde, you can't switch the lines around because it can change the entire meaning and the entire interpretation of what a line means. because it's that specific.
It must have been an amazing experience for him to actually write like that. Like, what do you think was going through his head to do that?
I know that it would have been, you know, a lot of the colloquialisms were the English language back in the time, but his. I wish I had met him to be able to ask him that question, because his phrasing and his use of the English language is just phenomenal. You know, I was actually saying in rehearsal that his writing is harder to learn than Shakespeare.
Really?
Yes, and I I can say that with honor, because I've done quite a few Shakespeares in my time. Yeah, Shakespeare has nothing on Wilde. It's completely different language, obviously, but there is a rhythm and a poetry to Shakespeare that actually makes Shakespeare quite easy to learn in comparison. But just the way Wilde phrases his sentences and the meaning that you need to find in what he's saying with his words, it does feel quite alien at times, because there's not the same poetry. You really have to get your... To me, it's kind of like reading Trainspotting or something like that. You know, you have to get your head into the language to be able to learn the lines and learn the language, if that makes sense.
There is something very Shakespearean about this play. I'm not surprised you've done a lot of Shakespeare, because, I mean, Shakespeare would love that notion of, you know, women playing the male characters.
Well, Shakespeare had all the females played by male characters back then. So it's nothing new that different genders are coming in, or, you know, gender-identifying people are coming in playing different characters.
But Shakespeare must have given you a great grounding for this. Tell us a bit more about your Shakespearean background.
The first Shakespeare I did was back in 1999. I played a smallish character. This is way back at university. Smallish character in Macbeth. And then the year after that, I played Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing. What else have I done? I've played the chorus in Henry V, which is they're very, very, very long monologues in Henry V. I'm standing backstage and you just have to say them over and over again, because Henry V, you're jumping country and all over Britain, so you have to keep the audience with you. So the chorus is there basically to come on stage and go, okay, just letting you know, we're going from Southampton to France now, guys. Okay, you with us? All right. And then, you know, next time I come back on, okay, we've left France, just to make sure you're keeping up with the story, and we're back in England now, but now we're actually going higher up and we're, you know, going to Northern England. Okay, you with us? But yeah, Shakespeare just put it in these huge monologues that were quite, you know, difficult to learn, but you get there because you do that as an actor.
You must be in a really kind of exciting time of the rehearsals. I mean, you're a month out from from the show, from opening night. How would you describe the kind of stage that you're at now with rehearsals?
We've gotten to the stage where we are running acts. So the play is coming together very, very smoothly. And it's all part of the process. You know, you start rehearsing a play and you kind of just do sections, and the sections slowly come together, and this has to do as the actors learn their lines, and once those sections are kind of sewn together, you know, the other night, Wednesday night, we ran act one for the first time, and you know, that was just excellent. We've got act one together, so that's good. And it's a real relief to come off your shoulders. You know, it's like, okay, good. It's coming together. So, yes, next we'll do act two. And that's just the sort of process you have to go through when you – and it's not just learning the lines. You know, you've got to learn the blocking. It's all physical. It's the process you go through.
What's the blocking?
Blocking on stage is where you move on stage. So you learn your lines, but blocking is where your director says, okay, well, for this, I want you to move over there, or I want you to sit down, or, you know, your entrances and exits, that kind of thing. So that's blocking in theatre.
Wow, so much to learn. Yes. Now, what's your brain like at the moment? You said you had so many lines running through it.
I am waking up in the morning thinking of Ernest lines. I'm going to bed at night thinking of Ernest lines. I was out today and I accidentally called someone a wrong name because I was thinking of Ernest lines. It just, if you're in a play this big and this involved and this in depth, you just have to have it going through your head, you know, almost 24/7, especially when it's a month out. I'm forgetting other things because I'm thinking about it so much.
Would you be worried if you weren't going through this right now? Would you be thinking, gee, what's wrong? Like, is this what happens to you every time you do a play? Like, was it like that with Shakespeare?
Yeah, pretty much. The more involved and the larger the size of the show, yes, I would be worried if I wasn't like this.
Wow, because you said it's a big show, the importance of being Ernest.
It's not, you know, the biggest show ever, but it's got a, you know, a cast of, I'm just kind of counting my head, you know, well, there's myself, there's Algernon, there's Gwendolyn, there's Cecily, there's Miss Prism, there's Dr. Chasuble, there's, is that it? I think so. 6 or 7? See, I kind of remember that. All I'm thinking is just, it's just Ernest lines. It's not doing my head in yet.
What's it like being so close to Jack?
Well, that's a really, really interesting question because the way that Jack pretends in his whole life, it's actually making it easier for me to find the character because... and I'm saying it because a lot, because I'm having to explain everything. The character of Jack, I'm getting very, very close to that character by the way he fakes his way through life and is trying to find his identity. And, you know, I had that experience myself when I was first diagnosed with MS. I had to re-find my own identity as you know, kind of the new person. So, and that kind of made it easy for me with all the processes I go through with theatre and finding characters. Yeah, so playing a character who is just kind of feigning his way through life has made it a very, very fascinating person to take on.
And he sounds entertaining as well. Do you like him?
He's actually a very unlikable character, but you have to find ways to make him likable because, you know, you want the audience to be on his side by the end of the play. So I don't like the sort of person that Jack is, but I like playing the sort of person Jack is because he's so far removed from myself. And it's not just the gender. It's his lying, his obfuscation, just the way he kind of, you know, bawled us to everyone.
You must be kind of really discovering him as a character. And I wonder how it's going to manifest. I wonder what surprises are in store.
I will be very, very excited to know what surprises are in store. I mean, one of the most fun things that I find with finding characters in theatre is, you know, I'm quite happy to play naturalistic characters, but I really love playing characters that are very removed from me. You know, if I can change my physicality, if I can change my voice, this is what I've done with Jack, that's where I'm in my happy place. Just going out on stage and being someone who's completely different to me.
Well, the importance of being Ernest is happening at the Motley Bauhaus in Carlton.
Yes.
It's produced by Misfit Toys Productions. It's directed by D.L. Turnbull. Sonia Marcon, thank you so much for coming into 3CR today. It has been a joy to see you. It's a happening thing, August 6, 7, 8, 9 and 13. Thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
Thank you.
3CR.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.